So, sort of continuing from yesterday. Question is about throwing the rock into a Shasarab. Right? So, the Mishnah's case is that it says you throw into a Shasarab and you go to Galus. Throw into a Shasarab and kill somebody, you go to Galus. So, what's the case? So, the Mishnah says the case is where there's a bathroom which people use at night, not really during the day. And you throw some bows once in a while, someone goes there during the day. So you throw a rock into there during the daytime. So it's not mazed, carved mazed, because it's daytime. People are usually there. At the same time, it's not on us, because after all, sometimes people do go there. Right? So therefore it's okay, it's like a metal case. So Tosa says, what do you need to have this case for? It's a bathroom that's used at night. Just say it's a place, it's a garbage dump, or whatever, which sometimes we go to the bathroom there and say the same thing. So it's not going to be amazing, because usually they're not, but it's not on us, because sometimes they do. Right, it should be the same thing. What do you need to have this thing? They go to the bathroom at night. So he says, no, then it would be on us. Because then you wouldn't have to think about it. Then you wouldn't have to think about it. If it's just stomach garbage and then once in a while go to the bathroom, then you have to worry about it. But since it's a bathroom at night, so you should have thought about it. Right? And therefore it's shogeg. So my question is what's the difference? But now it's day. So daytime, people don't go to the bathroom there. Or whatever. It's a small probability of the percentage people do. Same probable percentage as if it weren't a nighttime bathroom. So why is it? What's the difference? Why does it now become shogeg? Either way, during the daytime, people don't go to the bathroom in this place. Only once in a while. Now, you're telling me that if they do at night, then it's shogeg. If they don't at night, then it's on us. What's the difference? Either way, now it's day. Forget it about night. Now it's day. And then in the daytime, people don't go to the bathroom there. You gotta know. But to be honest. Okay, good. So I guess Matt's saying, and same is similar to what you're saying also, right? Saying that the mechayev, when these certain locations are mechayev yon shmirah. So others aren't. So look, everywhere in the world there might be someone there. Maybe someone goes there once in a while, but that's, you know, there's no chiyuv shmir. You go into a random location in the world because of a maybe. That's not enough. Lo havi la suke daite. It's reasonable. A person's not going to have to think every single time he goes somewhere to throw a rock around. Maybe it's a place that once in a while someone comes there. It's like far fetched. The Yonsei guy is negligent or shogeg for not considering that. But then you have such a thing as a public location. A bathroom is a public place. There's no such thing as a night bathroom. It's not like a chalos in the place of a night bathroom. It's a bathroom. It's a public place. Now you're saying it's just that the public limits its access to there in certain times. So when you go to a public place, now you're chayim shmir. Now what does shmir mean? Shmir means you have to think into the thing now. You know it's a public place. You have to think, are they going to be there? So if it's mamish, no one's there, ever there during the day, then fine. Honest. But if they're sometimes there, so now you can't just avoid it. You can't just dismiss that possibility. You have to be careful. So that's shogeg. Right? So it's like the sometimes, that's I guess the point. The sometimes being there isn't enough to generate a chiyuv shmir in the first place. But once there is a chiyuv shmir because it's a public place, then in assessing my shmira, I can't ignore the sometimes. But sometimes it is a possibility. It's just not enough. It's not significant enough to be a mechai of me to look into it, because it's like a small probability, and it's not going to engender a schaivus to think into. Maybe the guy, you can't live your life like that. Maybe someone's here. Maybe someone's here. Love, let's look at that. It's not reasonable for a person to have to think like that. But it is a small possibility. It's just not mechai of me to think about it. But once I know it's a public place, that is mechai of me to think about it. Now the question is, could I dismiss the people being there? No, I can't, because sometimes they are. So now I have no right to just start throwing things around there. I'm not Karvel Mezid. Like, if I had night nighttime, it's Karvel Mezid. But now it's just a shogeg. Right? Now what I'm saying is that you might think, so I think it's in line with what we're saying. The Avmina is once, why the Mishnah teaches this. You might think, since it's a public place, so that's it. So it's you have to always assume the public, and that's it. You have to assume there's gonna be a Rabban there, and it's like it's Pshia, it's Karvel Mezid. But it's saying is that even within the idea of a public place, there is such a thing as the public being relegated to certain times. You don't just say, like, you don't say it's a night bathroom. That you don't say. The place is defined, the place. The place is, the makom is makom chayim shmira, that's for sure. What it's saying is that in your shmira you have a right to consider the time. Time is a factor in shmira. And you have a right to say that even though this is a public place, since I know in general the public isn't there at this time, so I have a right to be less careful. Right? The factor in shmira is time. You don't just say, once it's a public place, I have to be always shown by there equally. Because public is public and you can't recognize the difference like that. It says, no, time is a factor in your shmira. You have a right to take that into account and be less shomer at a time which is less used. That's what he's saying is the chedesh. Even though it's Rishos HaRavim, you might say that shmira goes by the makom and the action which I'm doing, and you can't take into account like an accidental factor like time. So the shmira just goes by that which is essential to the situation. So it's saying is no, it's not true. Time is also a factor. And what it's saying is if you know it's a time where in general people aren't there, then again that gets downgraded from Karov Mesut to Shogig. As soon as you're saying is the point. It's like, right. Like, I don't know if you could just consider any factor. He says, well, it smells right now, and people generally don't care about smells, therefore, like, I don't know if halachically you could just consider anything you want and just say, nah, people aren't going to be here. That's to be an objectified thing. So it's saying, if he's teaching you here that time is an objective factor. There is such a thing as a location whose usage is restricted to a certain time. And then if you're coming at a different time, that affects Yechir Shmir. Yechir Shmir on the same location could be different in different times. Right? Could apply differently, you know. You could be less careful. You're still careful, you're still shogeg, but it's not the same thing. So the next problem? So the next problem is where you throw the rock in the same place, throw the rock, and it's going wherever, no one's there, and then sure enough, right when it's about to get there, the guy sits down and it lands on him and kills him. So he enters the line of fire. Right? He enters the line of fire. As opposed to the normal cases where you throw it, he's sitting there, you throw it near him, you didn't realize he was there, you throw it near him, that's definitely shogeg. But here, what about if he enters the line of fire? He's going for the toilet or wherever he's sitting. Right? He's going for there and no one's there. And then it turns out he sits down and hits him. So the limud is umatsa esrei, and it finds your friend, as opposed to paralamasi zatsa, as opposed to if your friend finds it. Your friend, basically finds it. He enters into it. So that says that if, says Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, is that who it is? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, salacha, is that if the guy enters a line of fire after it's already in transit, so then basically you're a vater. But arguably the Tanakhama would argue. Right, it's a chiddush. That's his chiddush. It wasn't actually a chiddush. Matzah. He learned that from the pasuk, the matzah. Right, so the question is, what's the machlokas? What's the Sfarah say? You chayiv in that case? What sort of say it wouldn't be? And the Rav says, and it's not really machlokas, it just quotes it in the name of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov because he's the one who is machadish. But he was on his mechadesha. It's like his idea. But it's everyone agrees. They agreed. Once they said it, they say, oh yeah, it's true. I mean, he's doing the pasuk, right? So he says, and even if you want to say they do argue, he says, Allah is like him. Because that's the general principle. Allah is like Rav Yaakov. Funny, right? So he's not 100% sure about it.
No. How do you know?
How do you know? That what? Service, Yaakov is saying, is true. Is that presumably it's not a case where you checked before, otherwise this force it's on us. They don't need a limud, it just totally is not your fault. So unless we talk about a case, so it's not that you checked. You just assume that it's a bathroom and it's daytime and people aren't there in the daytime, whatever, that kind of thing. So that's a case of shogeg. But now, then the question is, who cares that he jumped into the line of fire? Either way, you didn't check and it hit him and you threw it. You have a right to be throwing it here. You threw it here, you weren't careful, and now it hit him. So why should it be potter? Right? I'm thinking similar to Sammy, and let's see, maybe we'll work it out better as we go along here, but thinking that the first thought you had, I think, is a good step, is that it's not a matter of Shmira. you obviously you have to be a shomer, and you're just as negligent to whatever level of negligence. You're throwing a rock into this place, and you didn't really look, and you didn't consider that you weren't going to hit somebody, and you ended up killing him. So in terms of your negligence, it's the same thing. But in terms of to be chayiv for galus, you have to be the one who killed him. You have to be the cause of death. It's to be you, right? Right. Now here, you can argue is that you're not the cause of death. What I'm saying is you threw it and it hit him. But here, you threw it and he hit it. So he's really, if you look in terms of like the immediate causation of the thing, it's his action which caused it, not your action. Now, ultimately, what's the cause of his death? You wanted to like, in a, and I'm not sure the right words to use here, but in the ultimate cause is you. Because you're the one who did this negligent thing, and what's he supposed to know that you're going to be throwing a rock? I mean, he's just minding his own business, and Jesus throwing a rock at him in that. They say it's his fault, he should have said. I mean, in terms of the ultimate cause, like conceptually, who caused his death, you'll say the ultimate cause of, well, why did this guy die and not be alive is because of you. Because of your shogeg. So therefore, you could say that you're shogeg. You could say you're chayef, or may I still come hold. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov's halacha is that it's not enough just that in terms of Shemirah, in terms of life and death, you're the cause of his death. Ultimately, it's because of you that he died. But you need to be the immediate cause. It has to be your action is that which caused his death. Not that you did an action and then he caused the death. It's true, he's like the immediate cause of it, but it's your fault. But it doesn't matter your fault. And as Rosmanyak was saying, you need more than it just being that you're the cause and it's because of you and you're the bad guy here. But you need it to be like, technically, your Maisa causes death. And the immediate cause of his death is not your Maisa, it's his Mount Yisatzma. He brought it on himself. Again, brought it on in terms of like the mechanics of it, he brought it on. But in terms of the conceptual responsibility, you're the cause. But that's what Ozanyaka is saying. It's not enough that you're the cause, that's your fault. But he's saying is you have to be the cause. Your action has to be, you need like a mice of killing him. Your action has to be that which brings his death about. Not that his action of walking into it is what brought it about. It's like fault. It's like an insurance, and like car insurance is like an idea. This I told you this once. I think it's like I once a guy went through a stop sign and I hit him. So you know I smashed into him. So in the car insurance it goes by fault. So it's his fault. Right? It's his fault. He's the one who popped out of the thing. It's my fault. I hit him. Who cares? I hit him. He's popped out of the stop sign. But in a certain sense, you could say, look, it's I'm the one who hit him. So it's like my action, I did the action of the accident. I'm the cause of the accident, I drove into him. So it's like the ultimate cause is his going through it, but like the immediate cause is me smashing into him. I'm the one who drove into him, he didn't drive into me. So, what?
I guess, but if he has the ultimate cause, why are you giving, why are you making him public?
Right, well that's the question. I guess that's what Rebels is saying is there's what's wrong and it's my fault, but then there's halachically the mechayiv is that I did an action which killed him, and it's like my action is that which killed, brought about his death, and once it's his action which brought about his death, it's like halachically it's a p'tor. It's not, this is like in halacha and the chayiv you have like different, it's different than we've been doing until now. There's like fault and wrong, and then there's a question it has to be traceable to me in like my action. And once there's some intervening cause, then it's like there's a degree of separation between my action and between the result. And that's pater. That's the limit. You think into why the Torah did that. I'm not sure, but I'm going to think into the whole thing. Maybe we could define it better. I'm kind of describing the idea and giving an example to try to make it sound a little better, but it'd be nice if we could like nail down exactly the definition of the thing. Maybe we can make it a little more. I hear what's bothering you. It's like, what's the difference? Bottom line is, it's your fault, right? But sometimes halacha doesn't work exactly that way. But it would be better if I could explain, maybe explain it a little more. Okay, so let's do this. So we'll try to see if we can get this a little better next time. And then we're going to do the next part of the Mishnah. Next part of this Mishnah talks about if Rishos, if you guys Osik doing a mitzvah, let's say a father's hitting his kid. bar mitzvah, like to teach him Torah, to teach whatever, or a shlech bezin is hitting the whatever, hitting a victim, and you end up killing him. So you're involved in mitzvah, and you end up killing him. Yeah, chayiv. And then, yeah, so we'll do that. Look into that case. So this is further.